Hello and welcome to this week's SearchSMB.com editorial podcast. This is news writer Seamus McGillicuddy with a roundup of the news, tips, and other resources you'll find this week on SearchSMB.com. First, we had a story I wrote about how SMBs can leverage open source technology to secure their networks. While some buyers might think security is best left to vendors of proprietary software, experts say open source software can give SMBs the protection they seek. Nick Selby, senior analyst at the New York City-based research firm, the 451 Group, said at the C-level, at least, there is still something of a bias against open source security. He said executives can't understand the revenue model. If you believe that your security is beholden to the goodwill of unnamed, faceless hippies that might update the software if they feel like it, chances are executives would rather buy a proprietary product, Selby said. Dan Nickerson, an IT manager at Genesis Physicians Group Incorporated in Dallas, said he didn't realize the power of open source security until he started using a network security appliance from Untangle Incorporated, a San Mateo, California vendor of open source security technology. Untangle bundles more than a dozen open source security applications, which it offers for free. It sells support and services for the technology and also sells servers with the software pre-installed. Nickerson said this appliance and 2 years of support for the 38 users in his company cost him the same amount of money as his Symantec antivirus software. And with the Untangle appliance, he gets more than the antivirus protection. The Untangle Gateway platform includes spam, spyware, and phishing blockers, virus protection, a web filter, protocol control, intrusion prevention, a firewall, a VPN, and several other applications. When Nickerson became IT manager at Genesis, the company had a Cisco Systems Incorporated firewall and some basic antivirus protection. For Nickerson, this wasn't enough. Genesis is a business services firm that acts as a go-between for doctors and medical insurance companies. The company handles a lot of patient data, so data security is paramount. When I came over here, all we had was the firewall, he said. With my experience with Untangle, I knew it could definitely secure our network, especially for dealing with HIPAA requirements and things like that. It was very cost-effective, and it provided a lot of functionality for a low cost. Selby, of the 451 Group, said open source products are in many ways more secure than commercial software. He said most open source projects tend to get fished at a lot more by security researchers because the code is free and available to the public. However, there's a relative paucity of commercial support options for open source security products, Selby said. Contributor James N. Conley wrote this week that incorporating Web 2.0 into your IT infrastructure isn't that different from incorporating other user-generated initiatives. IT leaders must accept Web 2.0 as a fact of life, embrace it as an opportunity, keep a good IT foundation in place for it, test everything, and listen to user feedback. For SMBs, embracing Web 2.0 applications can be a matter of corporate survival. Julie Craig, senior analyst at Enterprise Management Associates in Boulder, Colorado, says that if you're going up against a Progressive Insurance or a countrywide mortgage, regardless of your size, you're going to move to Web 2.0. Your competitors have flashy websites, and you have to compete with them. Not only are customers demanding Web 2.0 features on company websites, but they're also expecting these sometimes complicated applications to serve them as quickly as any other web feature. Craig said this offers an added challenge to SMBs because XML and the fat graphics files that Web 2.0 applications often use can be demanding on resources. IT managers shouldn't be under any delusions that Web 2.0 hasn't already made it into their infrastructures. According to Stephen Borsch, principal of Marketing Directions Incorporated, an Eden Prairie, Minnesota-based consultancy. Users may be utilizing outside Web 2.0 services to set up applications that circumvent the firewall, which in turn could lead to massive unsecured file swapping and networks becoming bogged down. Both Borsch and Craig advise IT managers to familiarize themselves with Web 2.0 so that they can safely implement new applications. The first step is to identify which technologies and services can help the company, then take control of the Web 2.0 applications that users have already brought in on their own. Borsch said IT managers should identify the Web 2.0 applications that are enterprise-ready. For example, there are hosted solutions that are secure and available for companies that want to do video blogging. They must make some choices of what users can and cannot use. Robert D. Gourley, Chief Technology Officer for the Defense Intelligence Agency, an arm of the U.S. Department of Defense, has assessed the impact of Web 2.0 applications on his organization's technology infrastructure. The DIA has utilized blogs, wikis, and other Web 2.0 features for several years. Recently, the agency rolled out a mashup application that allows users to meld information from a variety of sources, such as RSS feeds, blogs, mapping tools, and traditional databases. The key to the application, Gurley said, is its user interface developed using JACB Corp's Presto, which allows users to select data from any source and interact with it in a new way. But ongoing monitoring is just one of the final steps in a long process. Here are Gurley's suggestions for successfully integrating Web 2.0 into existing IT infrastructures. You need strong governance and process that puts the leadership in charge of 100% of the IT activities in the organization. This should include a vision that is well articulated and understood, a strategy for how to execute that vision, and then guidelines that establish the SOA. Then you can start to field Web 2.0 applications. Second, you need to test and test again. Understand that these are new types of applications, and developing test criteria is an iterative process where the feedback from the users helps define the actual test. Third, you need to model and monitor these applications to ensure that users get adequate bandwidth to use them. Fourth, develop a system that allows users to report on their activities. This can take any of several forms. And finally, it is important for IT pros to recognize that Web 2.0 applications are of a different breed than any that they're used to. In a SearchSMB.com tip this week, independent computer security consultant Joel Dubin writes that intrusion detection systems and their nearest relative intrusion prevention systems are the burglar alarms of network security. Unlike firewalls, which just block traffic, an intrusion detection system, or IDS, is set off by malicious traffic and sends warnings to system administrators or IT security staff. An intrusion prevention system, or IPS, has the added benefit of not only warning about breaches, but also trying to fix them. For small and medium-sized businesses with small networks and thin IT staffs, IDS can seem like a costly luxury. Unfortunately, firewalls alone are not enough protection. These are two low-budget options for IDSs and IPSs that SMBs can try. You can use products that cater to small... There are two low-budget options for IDS and IPS that SMBs can try. You can use products that cater to smaller companies with smaller networks, or you can use an outsourcer that provides monitoring and warning services tailored to SMBs. But before you make any decision, consider the basic criteria for evaluating an IDS or IPS. The size and scale of your network, the type of data and infrastructure that needs protection, and how the IDS will fit into your current incident response strategy. The size and scale of your network is important because an IDS, like any other appliance on your network, can be a drag on network performance. For an extremely small network, this can be a lot to bear. If so, a firewall with good logging capabilities might be more in order than a full-blown IDS. Keep in mind that a firewall blocks unwanted traffic, but doesn't always log it. An IDS logs unwanted traffic, but doesn't necessarily block it, unless it's also an IPS. So firewalls and IDS are really two sides of the same coin. On the other hand, more recent products combine all these features to offer not just IDS, but also firewall, filtering, and other capabilities all in one handy appliance. This is something an SMB should consider when shopping around for an affordable and scalable device for a smaller network. An SMB should never solely rely on an IDS for security. It should be a part of a multi-layered defense that includes, among other things, firewalls, sound access management, and a desktop server and hardware hardening. Intrusion detection systems also need to be installed on both sides of your firewalls, inside the network and outside of the network, on the gateways where traffic comes in. The whole point is to check traffic from all directions, both internal and external. By comparing the results from different network segments, the source of an attack or attempted intrusion can be determined. To fit the IDS into your current response strategy, conduct a thorough risk analysis of what resides on your servers. If data is low risk, simple firewalls may be sufficient to prevent intrusion. That said, hackers often try to break into lesser protected systems as a backdoor into juicier territory, so make sure lower risk systems are isolated from servers with high risk data. Also, along with risk levels, consider the architecture of your system when plunging into an IDS and the accessibility of low risk systems to those of higher risk. As security threats have blended together from hardware to network and software, so has intrusion detection. It has become a part of a bigger security picture, including firewall and vulnerability management, network access control, and endpoint security. IDS should be seen just as another part of the IT security program for an SMB. Finally, on SMB Connection, Search SMB's blog, I wrote this week that I'm interested in hearing from baby boomers who are about to retire. We've been hearing all along for a couple of years now that IT and business in general is about to suffer from a major brain drain. or retiring baby boomers are going to take lots of skills and business knowledge with them. We're really interested in hearing from IT professionals and IT managers who are dealing with this issue right now. If you're retiring soon, or if you're dealing with people who are retiring and you're worried about how you're going to deal with it, or if you have a good story on how you're dealing with it, we'd really like to hear from you. So feel free to visit searchsmb.com and look for my email, or write it down right now. It's S McGillicuddy, that's SMCGILLICUDDY at techtarget.com, and I'd be happy to talk to you. Anyway, all these tips, news, and other resources are available on searchsmb.com. I'm Seamus McGillicuddy. Thank you for listening, and have a great week. And finally this week...